The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Justin Marler from Concord, North Carolina, and I love listening to Mike and Michelle on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 386 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today, ladies first, Michelle Scribner-McLean, back from Disneyland.
I know, I had to come back. I was getting reports from police and podcast police about you guys running amok as I was gone.
Well, while you were gone, Chris and I got all kinds of resumes to people to replace you.
Oh, no!
We won't tell you who was in the running, but...
So close.
Yeah, but...
Maybe it's time for me to branch off.
Yeah, we got my bribes, own podcast. I want you to know we got bribes. We got money, offers. Michelle, in order to join this podcast, what can you provide to us?
Well... I think I've got...
Trip visit reports? Will you do that?
I will. I will do trip visit reports.
Besides, Chris, you and I made this agreement that you would reply to Katy Perry and tell her she's been turned down.
Katy Perry?
So, yeah,
Katy
Perry. Sorry. Yeah. Love you, sister, but it's... Yeah. You know,
can I do my shout-out?
Hey,
go ahead. Yeah.
Oh.
She kissed a girl. What?
Oh, boy.
All right. That's on Mike's running playlist, I guess. So my shout out is to Laura Gilbreth and Lee Zimmerman. The reasons will become clear later in this podcast.
Whoa.
Yes. Bum, bum, bum. I'm a mystery.
And also on the show today is Chris Eliopoulos. So, Chris.
Oh, yeah. You turn on your 1940s.
Hi, Mike. How are you? Nice to be here.
Roger that.
Sounds
Roger
really that. Loud and obnoxious.
Yeah, well, like me. So in honor of Michelle going west, today's song is Wild Wild West by Will Smith. The movie was horrible, but the song is fun to run to.
That is on my playlist,
is that a rap?
Too. No, there is some rap.
Wild Wild West from Bel-Air? Is that,
No. That's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah. We're going to have to do another podcast called Education of
Michael
Scopa.
Did he get jiggy with it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Wow, I'm hip, baby. So anyways,
blew us away, Michael.
I second Michelle. Your shout out to Lee and Laura. They're two of my favorite people. And if you want anyone to escort you around Disneyland and California Adventure, it's them, like you said. Okay, so anyways,
what are we talking about today?
I will cut that out there. Right. I didn't want to take away your stuff. What are we talking about today? So Michelle has returned from a trip out west, and she was able to squeeze in a few days at Disneyland and California Adventure, and she's back with some interesting things to talk about, things I did not get a chance to experience while I was there in January, when I was there for the dark side. So
light side.
Light side. I was there for the light side. Anyways, Michelle, welcome back. And I was trying to figure out how to best talk about this, but maybe you could just take us through your daily routines, what you did your first day and second day and third day, and I'm sure Chris and I would be more than happy to hear this and ask you
Brilliant.
Some questions.
Jumping question. Yeah. So I like how you say that I had the opportunity to spend a few days, because this is how it works. Somebody said, oh, we'd like to invite you to a conference. And I said, oh, where is it? And they said, it's in Palm Springs. And I said, I will be there at your conference. So if it had been someplace else, I may not have ended up there. But I was due for a little few days of rest and relaxation. So I was at my conference, and one of the most interesting things that I learned was in Los Angeles, I landed and it was 66 degrees, and I went 2 hours south and to Palm Springs, and it was 99 degrees.
Whoa.
So have you ever been to Palm Springs, Chris?
Years ago, yes. We used to go all the time. My aunt lived out in the area and had a place down in Palm Springs. So we would go down there. Yes, it's a desert down there.
Yeah, it is. And it really is the dry heat that they talk about. I can't, yep. I mean, yesterday was about 90 here in southern New Hampshire, and it was not dry heat, but it was really cool. So anyway, after that, I made my way back up to Anaheim, where it was again 66, and I underpacked. I did not have enough long pants, and I'm always cold. But the first thing I did was I stopped off at, I had to get something to eat, and I stopped off at the Jolly Holiday Bakery. Have you guys ever been there?
Maybe.
Do you know, it's kind of like where Crystal Palace should be in that area. So, that's one thing about Disneyland is that Walt Disney World, I would say, is my home, even though it's in Florida. Have you guys ever felt this, that it's a little surreal, that you feel like you should know where bathrooms are and things are, and they aren't there? But anyway, I really like the Jolly Holiday Bakery. It's got some great things, and I got a Caprese sandwich. Yeah. So anyway, that's a Christmas special. But so, what do you think I did first after that?
Ate it.
After I got the sandwich and ate the sandwich.
Got a Dole Whip.
No, I didn't go to Dole. The line for Dole Whip is just
it's crazy,
amazing,
isn't it?
Amazing out there. It's just it's always every time I walk by it, the whole time I was there, it was crazy
would
busy.
I say you checked out the castle.
I didn't really even look at the castle very much until even the second day, but I made my way over to Hyperspace Mountain because, Mike, you had reported how really cool it was. Chris, have you seen it?
I've seen images of it, but I have not been on it
I'll tell you what happened before in a second, but on the ride, I just thought of you the whole time, Chris, because I thought Chris would love this.
I'm sure I would.
It is so, so, so cool to see all the Star Wars things, kind of, you know, the ships headed toward you, and it was really neat. I had a really, actually, probably the worst experience of my whole trip in line. I had a fast pass, and something really bad happened, and I won't go into it too much because it's not worth it, but somebody, a cast member was asking somebody if they had a fast pass, and it looked like another group was headed up the ramp. And the guy who had the fast passes actually was part of that group, and he was really, really nasty to a cast member. And it just, it upset me. It really upset me to the point where I couldn't even sleep that night. He was just so, so awful. And then somebody else got into an argument with him, so the cast member pulled them away and put them in a different entrance, and then I ended up getting into an argument with them too. So
really,
yeah, he was so nasty. So nasty.
Like, you're at like Disneyland? What are you upset about?
He called the person a lowly cast member. So it was just really, really. What happened was that I didn't even enjoy the ride. I was so upset. I was so upset that I just got off the ride and I didn't even have a good time. So
it's amazing. One person can just ruin everybody's day.
Yeah, he was just so nasty. He was so awful. So
what, after you got rid of Scopa, what happened after you went on the ride?
So anyway, Mike, the castle was actually decked out for the 60th anniversary, but, you know, it was kind of tastefully done. It wasn't a giant birthday cake or anything like that. But there was a lot of 60th anniversary gear in the parks, like T-shirts and special ears, those glowing ears, those ears that sync with all the different things. But I'm not really a person who buys a lot at the park, so I looked at them, but it wasn't anything that I really needed to have. One of the things I noticed in the parks was it was grad nights. And Mike, what is the history of that at Walt Disney World? Do they still do them?
As far as I know, I don't believe they do them. I could be wrong, but I had been down in Disney World during grad nights, and it's just a grad night is it was more than just one night. For several weeks, there would be high schools invited to go down. I think it was on a Thursday or Friday nights, and they would lock the kids up all night long in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, interesting.
They would have to. Kids would have to drop off their keys, you know.
Oh, wow. Well, this was local schools. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we know about Disneyland is that the population of people who visit it is mostly local people. Right. And so it's local schools, a lot of dates, you know, like
local boys.
Yeah, dates going on and things like that. So the crowd levels the whole time I was there were pretty insane. So it was definitely the case where you had to get up early and or stay late to get on the attraction that you wanted to get on. I was kind of like, oh, whatever. I really didn't care. But one thing, Chris, that they had that you would have liked too is that they had sort of a, there's a 1,500 person theater, and they had something called Season of the Force. And it was sort of like it followed the development of all the characters in Star Wars that have the Force. And so from the very, well, it, actually it was in the order.
Timeline of their.
Yeah, it was in the order of the movies, not in not the timeline of the way happens in the story. But I found it enjoyable and it was nice to, you know, sit down for a while. But it was only me and about 9 other people were in there.
Oh, really?
But,
oh, my God. Yeah. I'd be sitting through it 5 times.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. So anyway, that was really my – I just kind of wandered around. I wanted the chance by myself to kind of just see all the little nooks and crannies, which I think all three of us would agree that it's one thing that's very special about Disneyland is that it really does have a lot of little nooks and crannies that you know, or just make it very charming. That's always the word I use to describe it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was my first night. I was staying at the Candy Cane Inn. I couldn't get any DVC, and I wasn't going to pay the Disneyland prices for hotels. But the Candy Cane, from Main Street in Disneyland to the front door, or to my room at the Candy Cane Inn, took me 12 minutes to walk.
Oh,
so, yeah. I mean, you could. Have you ever stayed there, Chris?
I have
off
not.
Property. Okay.
I mean, I may, you know, when we were kids, we would sometimes stay at these little off sites hotels, but I was so young, I don't remember.
Yeah. So it's a good neighbor hotel. And when I got in there, just a little plug for the Candy Cane. Everybody's lovely there and they serve you breakfast and everybody's really friendly. And, you know, it's not like super themed, but when I got there, there was an older gentleman and the person came around the innkeeper came around and was hugging the man and his wife goodbye. And I said to the woman who's checking me in, I said, oh, does everybody get a hug goodbye when they leave the Candy Cane? She said, they've been coming there to this place for years. She said, we have so many people who just come back over and over again. So, you know, it's nice. It's clean. It's, you know, it's the price is right. Your travel agent can book it. It's one of the good neighbor hotels. So I would recommend it. So
nice.
Anyway, so, that was my first night, and then this is why I gave a shout-out to Lee and Laura. They actually drove up from San Diego and gave me we were together for about 13 hours. They got there at about 9:30 in the morning, and they gave me they're both native Californians. They're, you know, Laura writes a blog for All Ears about Disneyland, and they gave me a personalized tour for the whole day of Disneyland and California Adventure for the next day. So that was kind of cool. So I'll get into that if you guys want.
Yeah. I want to get like they all day long. You just went from place to place.
So, you know, I've been to Disney. I don't even know, like 5 times I've been to Disneyland, 4 times, 5 times. I feel like I know it pretty well. But they came up and just kind of Laura had asked me, what do you want to do? Where do you want to eat? Things like that. And so they gave me a personalized tour. But I got up early in the morning before they even got there. And I said, well, Mike, if you were going to California Adventure in the morning for I don't know that they're called extra magic hours there, but whatever they're called, the early hours there. What would you want to do at California Adventure?
I would go over to Radiator Springs.
That's what I did. So I did single rider pretty much at rope drop Radiator Springs. I rode four times in a row by myself. Chris, you've done that one, right?
Yeah. I don't blame you. It's test track, really, right?
Test track plus. It's so good. Yeah. So I had some Disney running shirt on. What a shock. And by the third time, the cast members were saying to me, are you doing the marathon on this ride? Because I just kept on getting off and turning.
So, and you got no fight with them and went.
No. I didn't get into a fight with anybody else, but so Lee and Laura met me and Laura had the whole day planned out. It was lovely. So the first thing that we did actually was we decided to get fast passes and eventually went on to Soarin'. So Mike, any idea why you'd want to go on that?
there would be, number one, I do believe that the soaring out there in California is much cleaner than the one in Florida. They keep everything nice and clean as far as the film goes.
Oh, yeah. There isn't a gigantic dust spot in the middle of it.
Spiders on the... number one. Do they change the film?
No, so it was one of the last days. I want to say that it's June 17th. It was one of the last days of the original film. So we thought it would be good. I ended up seeing it two or three more times for the last time. But it was nice to see the golfing scene because I had just come from Palm Springs, so I knew where.
Say goodbye to that.
Yeah, so that's going to go. I was thinking, and Laura and Lee and I were talking about this, wouldn't it be cool if they had a rotation of, you know, four films or five films, one of which is the original Soarin', that they did a different ones. Why not?
Yeah. I don't know. I do recall reading that there are two different films that have been made. I don't know if you'll see both of them in Walt Disney World, because we'll have actually multiple theaters in Epcot fairly soon. But I do know that there are two new films coming on. And, you know, I think that every once in a while they'll rotate them, just like they used to rotate the old parades.
Yeah, it was really fun, and it's fun, you know, it was fun going on there with Lee and Laura. It is a different queue. It's not, I would say that this is the queue line is where Walt Disney World beats Disneyland it's almost nothing. But
well, it's inside versus outside.
I'm telling you, Laura just had us on a schedule, and she just walked through the park like it was definitely commando, but it was just so fun to be with them. So one of the things that she pointed out that they were doing on Main Street was Enchanted Windows. So you know that at Walt Disney World they have, you know, sometimes kind of cool little, I don't know if we want to, they're not animations, but they're kind of, you know, animatronics.
Yeah.
Well, they had these Enchanted Windows. I think there were about five or six of them that actually, there was some sort of plus situation going on with every one of them. So my favorite was that they had Andy's bedroom. And so for one of the scenes, it was Andy's two arms were these animatronic arms, one with Buzz and one with Woody. And they were kind of hanging down into the bedroom and he was playing with them. And then they would go away and then the toys would come alive. So the other toys would come alive.
Cool.
But other things were... they had, I can't even remember now. They had, I want to say there was a Beauty and the Beast one. Mike, I think I did FaceTime with you, but I don't know if you could see.
I do remember seeing the Andy's room. I don't remember seeing the others.
There was
were,
Aladdin.
I want to say the Princess Frog. No?
Yes, there was. Yeah, there was the Princess Frog was on there. And I'll tell you what, people are just walking by and I was just staying there watching it. I probably was there for about an hour watching all these different things, but very, very cool. I would recommend that people see them later in the day. It's certain, you know, like in the morning, it was really hard to see with the glare of the sun, but they were really cool. So, but right. the Andy's awesome. Room. Yeah, it was neat. We went over to, Rancho del Zocalo restaurant, which is in Frontierland, and nice, you know, breakfast, salads, tacos, burritos. That was really, I think that was really yummy food. I can't remember what I had, but it was good. It was really good. Laura recommended something and it ended up being fabulous, of course. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, one of the things that I think is just so amazing about Disneyland is that the characters, I'm still amazed by this, the characters just walk around. And
there's no special spots we have to go find them?
Yeah. Did you ever see that when you were there, Chris?
Not this time of year. Like, I remember as a kid, it used to always be like, you would just be walking down the street, boom, Pooh Bear would be like right there. And you're like, guess it's time to, you know, and they'd be strolling down the street. So, yeah, it's kind of a neat little thing that they do over there, not in Disney World.
Yeah, there was, I saw two people just walking with Maleficent. I never say her name right, but just kind of walking and talking to her. And I met Tom Kreider for a drink. We had a drink at the Hearthstone Lounge. He was there with his daughter. And he was saying that the Mad Hatter and Alice just kind of came over and sat with them and talked to them. And the Disneyland band, who I got to see, they were just absolutely fabulous. I stopped at least two times to see them. I saw them once walking through the park, and the Mad Hatter and Alice were sort of dancing along with the band. So I don't know. They said, of course, Lee and Laura pointed out that this only happens with characters who can talk, you know, who are face characters. Yeah. But Mike, what do you think about why that wouldn't be feasible, or would it be at Walt Disney World?
I think, again, you have different clientele at Disneyland, and you mentioned it, Michelle. There are a lot of locals there. I don't think as many people go to Disneyland as they go to Disney World. Disney World is a factory.
You mean in terms of numbers?
Disney World is a factory, and I think that the character, I really think there's a big difference in the guest protocol. I think that the average guest who goes to Disneyland is going to be a little bit more in tune with what theme park protocol is all about. I don't think that's the case in Walt Disney World, where people are going for their first and maybe their only trip, and they got to do this, they got to do that, and they're pushing. And I think the characters have to have handlers there. I also think that there is a difference of approximately 17 years difference between the two parks when they opened. And I think that 17 years really makes a big difference as far as experience with characters and character interaction, character opportunity. So I think that the cast members who do portray characters, I think they have a better handle on how to handle the guests. But I think the guests are more respectful of the cast members out there, too.
Maybe.
Regardless of what you said with that guy at Hyperspace.
Probably. Yeah, yeah. I think that's an anomaly. Most people are very nice. So they asked me what was on my to-do list, and my favorite attraction at both of the parks is, I don't know if it's the same as you, Mike, Hyperspace Mountain is up there, but my favorite attraction is from my favorite movie, which is, Chris? Chris, you don't know my favorite movie?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, no. Although that's awesome, too. No.
Haunted Mansion, of course.
No. Yeah, oh, God.
It's the best movie ever.
I actually like that movie. It's not my favorite, though.
Really?
No, Indiana Jones is my favorite movie. I love Indiana Jones. So we went on that attraction, and Lee
52
was...
52
times. Lee was driving. It was really funny. But after that, we got off, and I think Lee said to us, I think I could go for some wine. And so we both agreed, and we went over to California Adventure, where we went to the Alfresco Tasting Terrace. And I've been there with my friend Liz before. Mike, I don't know if you've been there.
Might have. I don't know.
Chris, have you been there?
No.
Oh, you and Audra would really like it a lot.
Yeah, I bet.
So,
are you calling us drunks? Is that what you're doing? You lushes would really like this.
I'm going to tell you what restaurant it's near, because I actually have the maps here, because I'm just, it's near the Wine Country Trattoria. It's over to the right, and actually you don't even really, there's a sign there, but you don't even know it's really
kinda
there.
Kind of hidden, yeah.
Yeah, there are probably about four or five waitresses or waiters there. They have kind of like tapas type of menu. There's a flatbread pizza. Some of the Disney legends, of course, they're all multimillionaires. They all have their own wineries. So, for instance, not alive anymore, but there's a Diane Disney Miller winery. There's Fess Parker. There's Kurt Russell. John Lasseter all have their own winery. So it's the kind of the Disney legends and their selection of wines. So you can get flights of wines. You can get recommendations. And it's just the perfect thing just to sit down in the middle of a hot day and, you know, just chill out. We probably were there for about 90 minutes, just kind of, we didn't drink very much, but we're just enjoying the day. And you can kind of look down at the crowds, and not a lot of people know about it. So it's really relaxing. And There's actually a cool thing about that area. There are cats that you sometimes see in that area. Yep. And I asked one of the cast members, and he told me that the cats have actually been there since the park opening in the Disneyland Resort area.
Cats can't grow that old.
Yeah, and Walt asked them to be brought in. And I don't know if it's true, but that's this person told me it's because of the rodent problem.
Yeah, I've heard that for years.
So I've seen the cats, but anyway, it was just completely enjoyable. And then at a certain point, we ventured back over again, did a few more things, and then we ended up at the Riverbell Terrace for dinner. And this place, Mike, I don't know if you remember that you and Lee and Laura and I had breakfast there.
Yes, yes.
And I don't think they do breakfast anymore there. They just, it's a table service restaurant.
In New Orleans Square?
Yeah. It's in Frontierland, and you have to make a reservation. She had a really difficult time getting a reservation. We were trying to do the package for the parade, but we couldn't get it. And they had some good vegetarian stuff there. I had... probably most of the people are going to cringe when they hear this.
Vegetarian chicken?
They had barbecued tofu salad, which is what I had. So it was good. It was actually really good.
Yeah, it was good eating.
And they had some maple bacon ice cream, something or other that I didn't have. But.
Wow.
Oh, well.
All right. So then we went over to get ready for the parade at a certain point. So the parade is called the Paint the Night Parade. Mm-hmm. And Laura, she's just got this whole Disneyland thing down to a T. I told her that she's about to retire, that she should actually sell her tour services because she's so amazing. She said, at this point, there's a rope there and people are sitting. They're going to ask everybody to stand up. And she knew like the exact moment it was going to happen. And we actually were able to get really great places to stand for the Paint the Night Parade, which is the theme music that runs throughout the parade is When Will I See You Again? Or When Can We Do This Again? When Can We Do This Again? From Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's the theme that goes through. And then there's a little kind of tribute to the Baroque Hoedown.
Oh, yeah.
With the, what's the name of the parade? Spectacle?
Spectrum Magic.
I always forget that. So it was just a stunning, amazing parade. And I was just blown away by, I just think there's a lot being done now with LEDs, and it's just hard to explain, but I would go on YouTube and see some of the cool things that are on there. But that wasn't the best thing. The best thing was the fireworks spectacular, which is called Disneyland Forever. And that just blew me away. So right after the parade ended, everybody moved out to the street. And Laura is saying, we need to go over to the left. We need to move up 3 feet. We need to move over a foot. And so we saw the Disneyland Forever, which is the kind of the big fireworks display that they did for the 60th anniversary. I don't think I saw very many fireworks because the projection thing that they do on the castle at Walt Disney World?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a name for that, but anyway, of course, the castle in Disneyland, so little. I don't think a lot of people would see it. They do it all up and down Main Street. So every single building has a projection on it. So they play songs like, songs from The Lion King. They start off with Step in Time, and then there are chimney sweeps all over the buildings. The buildings dance. They move up and down.
Oh, cool.
There's a part where they do like an underwater tribute. So it's Finding Nemo and things like that. And things blow up like underwater plants kind of blow up on top of the building. So they kind of just inflate for a short period of time. It was just my mouth was on the floor. Honestly, I just couldn't even. I just kept on saying, oh, my gosh. Wow. It was so, so cool. So I ended up going back and seeing it again the next night just on my own. So do you guys have any questions? I think I'm just
talking
like crazy.
It's so funny. It's like I went there a couple of years ago. It's like totally different. 2 years later, you've got a whole new thing going on. And it's interesting to see all the plus things that are going on over there, and it kind of makes me upset thinking about how things are minusing at Disney World. You know,
yeah.
It's like hearing all these wonderful things that they're adding every day, and you know, at Disneyland, it's amazing.
Mike and I have talked so many times about why can't they do that to Space Mountain? And Mike, you actually made a really good point to me, because they had, they've had two. Well, about Space Mountain, about the number of updates. Do you want to share what you said?
So back in 2005, I attended a announcement in New York. Jay Rizzullo was there, and he had a huge audience, and we were treated to what was going on with the Year of a Million Dreams. And one of the big things that he said was that Walt Disney World will be seeing a lot of changes. And one of the things it was going to, they were going to change Space Mountain to Rockin' Space Mountain.
Right.
They were going to put new a new sound system and new ride vehicles. It was going to be really great. That was 2005, I believe.
Yeah.
2005 or 2006. That was 10 years, at least 10 years ago. Since then, I do believe that Disneyland's Space Mountain has gone through one, at least one, maybe now two.
It's two.
Well,
two
refurbishments. Yeah, yeah. So for some reason, Disney World has a, you know, has a backseat to that. I mean, I guess you can also say that there are times when Disneyland has a backseat to things, but. It's
well,
true.
One of the things about you, Mike, is you're not a big roller coaster fan. I am. I love roller coasters. Mm. Although, out of the three of us, Lee and Laura and I were talking about the Matterhorn. I'll do any roller coaster, upside down, corkscrew. I don't care what it is, 90-degree angle. I will not go on the Matterhorn.
Why?
It's so uncomfortable. I always end up hurting myself.
It's
yeah.
old school roller coaster.
Yeah, well, it's the first one using the metal rods. So,
yeah,
you
even
know,
with the update, but... But, Mike, you were saying...
I rode that once with you.
Yeah, it's just... I can't imagine. I'm 5'6". I can't imagine if you're taller than 5'6". It's just... Yeah. I always feel like, oh, I can't wait till this is over. But anyway, the Space Mountain, you always say, oh, this is so smooth. It's a really smooth
ride.
Well,
I do think that... Yeah, and like, you're right, Michelle. I'm not a real roller coaster fan. I don't want to get jostled as much as I need to on a daily basis. But the... Space Mountain experience out in California in Disneyland is so much different than the one in Disney World. I just think it's smoother. I think you feel like you're going faster.
Yeah.
And it just has so much more sensory things, components to it that
especially with the Hyperspace Mountain and the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but even when they had the music, and it's just, you feel like you're you're totally embedded in that world. It seems like in Disney World, it's sort of like you go by and there's like a little sound effect over here. There's a little whoosh over there, and that's about it. You know, you feel like you're totally enthralled in Disneyland. So I don't know why they have just kind of left it to rot over in Disney World.
I don't know. All right, let me tell you a few more things. So another thing that I did with Laura that I would not have probably done on my own, I just kind of walked away, because when you're in Cars Land, the Radiator Springs Racers is the premier ride. Well, they changed the Luigi ride. It used to be these blow up sort of, you know, hovercraft sort of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chris, go look on, and I would encourage our listeners to go on YouTube, the Luigi's Rollicking Roadsters.
Yep.
So it's magnets that are controlling the cars, and they dance to Italian music. And they are synchronized in different ways, two people in a car. And at the end, regardless of the song, I think there are five different songs, all the cars dance the same way and then turn around. And it's kind of like a local thing where everybody puts their hands up in the air as they're turning around. It is the most adorable thing. It's a ride that even just not even being on it, just watching it, just brings a smile to your face, because I just watched it. A few times too, Mike. I think I FaceTimed with you too.
Yep.
So, other things going on at California Adventure that I did, I saw a few times the Pixar Play Parade, which has been there for a while. It's still really fun if you're a big Pixar person. I think it opened today or yesterday, Frozen at the Hyperion Theater. I just missed it. It's the place where Aladdin used to be, and Laura actually has seen it, and we're going to invite her to come on the show. She went to the press opening of that. We'll see how it is. I know that Aladdin, Mike, it's one of my favorites. I know it's one of your favorites. Chris, did you ever get a chance to see Aladdin when it was there?
I don't think so.
Oh, so good. It was so, so good. It was all the genie. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. I went to see Turtle Talk, which is a kind of it's the same thing as Walt Disney World, except that the theater's a lot bigger. It's got seats, you know, just regular seats. But there's an overlay of Finding Dory. So it's got Dory characters in there, such as Bailey the Beluga Whale, who is played by Ty Burrell from Modern Family. He plays Phil in Modern Family. So there's all sorts of Finding Dory characters. And I think that's coming out on June 17th, too. I remember them saying that. Mm-hmm. And then I think that's about it. I don't know. I did all the usual stuff. I noticed that, there was one thing I want to mention, but I noticed that some of the rides were down at California Adventure. But you guys didn't ask me about the area that I thought you'd ask me about at Disneyland, Star Wars Land.
Yeah, well, online I noticed they put a 3D viewing thing. You could see what it looks like being built right now.
In land or world?
In land, because they haven't started in the world yet. And it sort of had you could do the 3D view. You'd have to find it online. But so, you know, it's like with constructions, but you see like an ad, and they can just show you where everything is going to be.
Wow!
But did you see anything? Like, could you look over walls or anything?
Yeah, a little bit. Like when I went on Big Thunder Mountain, when you're climbing up the top of the hill, you could see, and it is a vast area of dirt. there's nothing there except for dirt, but there's a lot of dirt, so I guess that's a good thing. But one of the things that Laura mentioned is that they had to stop the train going around Disneyland because it's going right through the construction area. Right. And so one of the questions that she posed, which I thought was great, was, you know, how are they going to do the theming if the train goes right through, it goes through that area? It doesn't fit Star Wars Land. So, Mike, I mentioned that to you. You actually had a good idea.
One of the things I thought of is that they need to figure out how to keep the train going through without having a clash of themes. And the only thing I can think of would be to put some kind of a barrier between the guests' line of sight and where the train goes through. Two things come to mind. They could build a huge wall and have something.
A wall?
A wall?
The train.
All right, let's not go there.
and make Universal pay for it.
And make Universal pay for it. Or have some kind of a tunnel. Have some kind of a tunnel. Because, you know, even if you had put a wall up so that you don't see the train, you're going to hear the train. So I think they need to do some kind of soundproofing. So they need to put some kind of a tunnel for the train to go through. I think that's the only solution.
Yeah, and so
the
outside of the tunnel will be something more Star Wars themed.
Think about Expedition Everest. You go up there and you see everything around you. I mean, is there a certain point where you just go, at this point of the ride, you have to see what's around you?
I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know.
You know?
So... We'll just have to make a podcast field trip back there to see when it's
done. Michelle,
before we
sign off, I know that there are listeners out there who have never been to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have been to Florida, but they've never been to California. And if I were to ask you, if you could explain in one or two sentences the biggest difference between Disneyland California Adventure and the Walt Disney World Resort, how would you put that together? I mean, you were there most recently, so I think you're in a better position than Chris or I, who have been there several times.
One thing I think I wouldn't have said this, but I think Chris makes an excellent point, is that it seems to be always changing. And I know there are things that are there because of the 60th anniversary, but it seems to be always changing. I think there's a local presence that is not at Walt Disney World. And I think, you know, it's manageable and small. I don't think you need a whole week. Now, Chris, you stayed there for a really long period of time once.
We did. We went, we took the kids, you know, we were out there for the race, and but we decided to add on and make it a week-long expedition. And we did get the kids got bored after a while because there were only two parks and not much beyond that. I think moving forward now with Star Wars Land, you're going to be able to tack on an extra day. But it's a quaint, familiar park as opposed to Disney World, which is more of a vast, like you called it a factory. I would almost say, you know, it's a larger, more encompassing. It is large, whereas, you know, Disneyland is a mom and pop shop. You know, Disney World is the Walmart of parks. You know, it's the huge thing. And it's funny because I have this discussion with my agent all the time. She loves Disneyland and California Adventure because of the fact she could roll out of her bed and walk to the parks. And it's very local and it's right there. Whereas in Disney World, there is a lot of traveling to be done in order to get to where you want to be.
Right, right.
So I think that's a big thing, is just sort of the quaintness versus the vastness.
Yeah, I say it all the time. It's charming, but I also think there's a history piece of it. To me, there's nothing like walking down Main Street and thinking, oh, you know, this is where Walt walked, or seeing the light over the fire station. I know that that's a tribute to him. That's his apartment, and that's a tribute to him. Right. Or even for me, this trip, you know, standing in front of the carousel. And, you know, listening to, I know we were talking about Disney World with Jim Corcus, but thinking of the movie Saving Mr. Banks, or Saving Mr. Banks, and thinking about, you know, that whole bit of history. To me, it's more like a museum than Walt Disney World is. What do you think, Mike?
I think that anyone who has grown up in the 50s, like I have, and have seen Walt Disney live, and I haven't seen him live, but I mean on television, and I've always dreamed about going out to Disneyland. It was really, really something when I first went out there. It's very much like stepping into a time warp.
Mm-hmm.
When the first time I went there, and even in January, I can tell you that it would feel like a time warp, and it's very, very quaint. I think that one of the things, and someone had mentioned this to me a long time ago, and I never believed it, but I believe it now. I think that the quality of the entertainment is a little bit better in California than it is in Florida.
There is entertainment.
yeah, there is.
It's all over the place.
And I would encourage any Disney fan to at least go out there at least once, just so that you can experience it. California Adventure, not so much as Disneyland. I mean, California Adventure is studios on steroids, you know.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of good stuff.
No, I actually saw some, like, Newsboy, and, you know, and there were some singers from the 1940s type of, you know. I think there's a lot of good entertainment, too, there.
And I agree. I mean, I would love to walk through there by myself and just take my
we'll
time.
Arrange it.
No, just take my time and take things in. I don't want to, you know, rush through. I don't really care. Mm. I mean, it's one of those things where you really don't care that much about the attractions as much as the atmosphere.
Mm.
You know, and that's my take.
The second night that I went to see the parade, I got to talking to some people from Tennessee, I think, and they were there for a week. And one of the things that they said was that they were going to Universal the next day. So I think that the next time I go back, if I'm there for more than a few days, I would like to kind of see some of the other things that are to be seen. You know, just, there are other things in LA, certainly in that area, but Universal, I hear, just opened a new Harry Potter land, and so might be fun.
Plus, if you've never gone out to the West Coast, there are a couple attractions that, God forbid, are better than in Disney World.
Oh, lots of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Them. You know, just Pirates and Haunted Mansion always seem to feel a little bit better than, I mean, they're original and they're just longer and they're more involved. And so it's always a thing to see.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that one's great. God, the kids wanted to go on that one every single time.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's definitely, there's definitely things to be seen out there. And we need to get back out there again.
Yeah. I want to mention one more thing that Lee told me, which was, you know, Pirates, of course, out there is just fabulous. But we were looking at some of the rides at Disneyland, and he was pointing out that some of them, such as Pirates, you know, you go down to little drops in Pirates out in Disneyland, and that is to accommodate the train tracks. Mm-hmm. And then you actually go, I think you go down or up, I can't remember. You go up or down in Haunted Mansion, and he said that's to accommodate the train tracks. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I guess you go down. And then in Indiana Jones, which has probably one of the longest queue lines I've ever gone through, mm-hmm. Having done it several times, he said, guess why we're walking so far? To accommodate the train tracks. So that the trains, mm-hmm. which of course are near and dear, were near and dear to Walt's heart, really made a lot of the engineering that happens at Disneyland. They had to be creative with the way that they did the attractions.
They don't know exactly what the sequence of events was, but my guess was that the train tracks were laid down before everything else. And then everything had to be built around, below, or above the train tracks.
The main rides are outside of the park proper.
Yeah.
So, you know, they keep those buildings out of sight, you know, for you to go see it, so... Yeah, and they were innovative, right? I mean, that was a pretty... Like, now it's like... It's so funny. And instead of in Disney World, like, say, in Haunted Mansion, they have the stretching room for no real good reason. Remember? Like, I remember when I was a kid, we always used to go to Disneyland. We always used to... Like, that was my childhood. And I remember as a child trying to figure out is if the room was moving or if the walls were moving. And sort of knowing in Disney World that, it's just the walls moving, you know, it just... Not to give anything away, spoilers. you know, there's that thing that's like, oh, that's so cool. The room is actually moving in Disneyland. That's kind of a cool, as an adult, to be like, oh, this is so neat. We're on an elevator. So
yeah,
it's fun stuff. Everything, and even just the little, like you were saying, the nooks and crannies, just the little things like you see in Disneyland, like the rocking chairs, the chess table. Or checkers table out, you know, and little things like that you see and make it a warmer place to be. And Disney World seems to be very big and vast, and I miss that. And I gotta go back to Disneyland.
Yeah.
If I didn't have to fly, I'd be fine.
All right.
Well, thank you for your
thank
trip
you for
report.
Indulging me.
It sounds like you had a good time.
I did. I always enjoy myself there.
Yeah, did you have fun at your meeting or whatever it was?
I did.
Actually
it was,
went to.
It was very nice. It was very good. Yeah.
You had no care what it was. You were just going for the park.
It was a teacher thing. It was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
know, one last thought before we sign off, and that is, I wonder how many Run Disney runners actually went out to Disneyland for their first time because there was a race out there, not necessarily because it was just Disneyland.
Me,
I think I'm in there. No, but you had been out there before that. But
I was.
It took a Run Disney event for me to be out there. So.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
Okay, so for Chris Aliopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, who is back in New Hampshire, this is Mike Scopus saying we'll see you on the road, in the parks, and
on both coasts.
Bye bye.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.